You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Man like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Aye, papi! There it is. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. These English people are going to learn today. Okay.
Today is the day. Alicola Blanco put WTF. This is what we do. Hi, Poppy.
Hi, Poppy is the introduction.
Which you probably you probably think we're creative enough to think of that on our own. No, no. As suggested by the stream chat. Okay.
Correct. So the fact that, we've been getting, we've been doing this. This is already episode number 5 of the Prem Show, taped live on Twitch with the viewers. So everybody here watching will be in the chat contributing to the show, directing what we discuss when it comes to all things Premier League. And we mentioned this is the new endeavor for the Cooligans. We spend a lot of time talking about American soccer, and now we're trying to throw a little bone, a little help to this Premier League,
that fledgling little league, you know.
They're really trying their best, and they need all the help they can get.
It's about time that people with real personality start to talk about them, you know, because they've been struggling along. And we're just trying to help. Put in the chat what your Premier League team is. And maybe we'll talk about them. Who knows?
Yeah. So obviously, Championship Sunday was over the weekend, and we'll talk about all those games, every single one, into every minute detail. This show is going to be 17 hours long.
That's right. We're going deep.
Okay. Again, I had mentioned this is taped on Twitch. So if you are listening to the podcast of this, get on Twitch. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/soccercooligans, and follow us there and be a part of it, because we have such rapscallions in the chat.
We do. It's a peanut gallery, if we're going to be honest, which means a lot of you allergic to it. So watch out.
So we have we always have a good time with everybody here. So. Alexis, where do you want to begin? Let's at least start, obviously, with Championship Sunday. And there was clearly a lot to play for a lot of the teams, whether it was a Champions League position, whether it's, how drunk Liverpool are allowed to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got to take the game somewhat seriously.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
We got more games, baby.
Yes, Europa League, relegation battles. And then if you're Everton, nothing. It's always nothing. There's nothing to play for at the end, but it is what it is.
I love when Everton starts off the season and they release that banner that said, maybe next year. Just setting you up.
Let's go through a couple of these results already.
There was something else I wanted to talk about, which was six teams, I think it was six, have asked the UEFA to keep the ban for Manchester City, which is, it's a little snitchy, isn't it? It's a little snitchy.
Is it? I mean, look.
They finessed their way out of it, and now you go. I mean, and Arsenal's one of them, you know?
I mean, look, if people have an issue with it, they have an issue with it. Hey, Glenster, what's up? Thank you for coming through.
It's a little snitchy. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, teacher, you know, he's cheating. It's like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's just pointing out that somebody is doing the wrong thing. Alexis is very anti that.
Wait, are you for it?
No, well, they look at this point, it's there's no, you know, they can complain all they want, but this was the ruling. Unless there's no like appeals process of any of this, because that's what ended up happening. Manchester City appealed to get this result. So whatever.
It just feels, it feels like, here, I got it. It's 9 Premier League clubs have said that they don't want. So the teams were Arsenal, Burnley, Chelsea, Leicester, Liverpool, Manchester United, Tottenham, Newcastle, and Wolves. The hell's Newcastle care?
They haven't seen the Champions League in like 30 years. What the hell they know?
You don't even go to this school. Why are you telling the teacher she didn't give us homework?
To be honest, we're lucky we let you in here to begin with.
Damn, fam. Let you in my family's house and this is how you act?
Pretty crazy. We already have a couple great things in the chat. D. Garcia. E says Troy Deeney to MLS now that he got relegated. That's right. We were talking about it as a possibility.
In the last one.
Look, they fired their coach like 3 weeks before the season was over.
They had the toughest 3 games, and they're like, you're out of here. If anything, make that dude suffer through that.
And you got the same exact result. I don't understand what was the decision. Obviously, hindsight is 20-20. And yeah, and now you, I don't know, what is it like? How much money did you end up losing by making the wrong decision?
What is it, 154 million, right?
Okay, that's my bad. Oh, man.
I mean, we could shake a couple couch cushions, see if we can get that to you.
So let's we can look up some of the results already from, I'll put it up on the screen. Boom, you saw a little motion transition.
Everyone listening is like, what the hell are you talking about?
Arsenal 3-2 against Watford. Obviously Watford got relegated, but didn't that Danny Welbeck did he score? Yeah, he did score one, right?
Yeah.
So basically like Arsenal's got 4.
Did Danny Welbeck score in that one? No, I don't think he did.
I can click on it and see.
Well, this is the benefit of...
He did score. He scored in the 66th minute.
All right, maybe I just blacked it out. You know what I mean? I tried to just pretend it didn't happen.
Yes, so that way, and there was a great back heel that he did that Martinez blocked, which was unbelievable. That was an unbelievable save that he got.
We talked about this a little bit, and I would love to hear what the chat thinks now that we have a couple more people. Maybe who weren't here during that. Yo, let's be honest. He's the number one at Arsenal now, right?
Oh, Emiliano Martinez?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's gotta be.
He's been he hasn't really made any mistakes since he took over. So you gotta give credit where credit is due.
He looks amazing. And I'm the last person to suggest an injury, you know, would rule you out of you lose your position because of injury. But dog, sorry, it happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The FIFA Degenerate said it. Damn, Danny Welbeck still playing? He is. He is very much still playing.
And he's great. He is a great player. He's just never really been able to put it together in a couple injuries. You know, yeah. I thought when we got when Arsenal got him from Manchester United, I thought it was a steal. If I remember, it was like 17 million, something like that. And turns out, we pulled a Watford.
Well, he did have an ACL tear, right? That I believe that's what that he ended up leaving like a year after that from Arsenal. He hasn't really done too much at Watford, but I don't imagine him sticking around and playing in the Championship. I think he's probably above that level.
I don't agree. I think actually a year in the Championship would be good for him.
Okay.
I think it would maybe, it would not that it, and because I really don't think it like lowers the quality of like defender. It maybe lowers the tactical quality that you're going to face on a week to week basis. But the Championship is a ridiculously difficult league to try to win. It's wildly physical. It's something that I think would sort of give Danny Welbeck maybe a little bit of a, give him his edge back, especially if he starts to really ball down there.
Yeah.
And maybe even get sold midway through the season to a Premier League team that needs him. Because Premier League teams are buying players for no reason. I forgot who's the kid from Bournemouth is getting looks. I'm trying to find, obviously, what's the dude's name?
Who? Which one?
I mean,
King?
This would have been easier if I just wrote it down as opposed to put the link. But yeah, there's, whatchamacallit? It doesn't matter. I forget the guy.
David Brooks? That's what Colablanca said.
Maybe it was David Brooks. But nonetheless, I mean, there's clearly any team that gets relegated, it's other Premier League teams, especially the bottom half, to start plucking their best players. So maybe, right? Everyone's talking Troy Deeney, maybe going to MLS. I'd love to have Troy Deeney in MLS. I'd love it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to stay in the Premier League, though.
Yeah, and I like I said last week, I think he'll probably stay with Watford. I think he's
too loyal.
He's too loyal to that club.
No, you good, bro? Did you know he has a Birmingham City tattoo on his leg?
I did not know that.
I think they said he was like the only Premier League player with a tattoo on his body of a different club.
Awkward.
Yeah, okay. But I think so. He says he was such a Birmingham City fan that it would be too much pressure to play for that team. So he's happy to be at Watford. Wow. Which, if you're Watford, you're like, what? You know.
It's dope to see that you know that fan loyalty and that you know didn't even go away. He's like Troy, I guess he's like a Birmingham City ultra, and he's like playing on a different team. This is great.
Like his team is playing Birmingham City, he doesn't celebrate like he came from the youth academy.
And Colbank, referring to Danny Welbeck, apparently he's only 26 years old, which for some reason Danny Welbeck feels like he is 45. He feels like he's older than Zlatan Ibrahimovic, right? He just feels like he's been around so long.
He feels as old as Ozil looks. Ozil looks like he was president for 8 years. How stressful is it being at Arsenal, man? Yo, he aged so much being at Arsenal.
Punkrat Dad said the championship is more competitive than the EPL, which
probably.
When it comes to competitiveness, yes. When it comes to quality. No, right? I mean, it's not even this. The gap is pretty steep.
Significant.
Who was it that? I was watching something. It might have been Sunderland Until I Die, where they made that point about that any given time in the world there are only 75 players that are the best in the world. Like there's only 75 to ever pick from. Do you remember this? You ever heard this anywhere?
I don't know.
Some documentary or something, but it was really just making the point that there really isn't this giant pool of players to pick from when it comes to creating like a great team. And he's like, statistically, there's only ever 75 of the greatest players in the world that you can pull from to have like as a foundation of a team.
And you're talking about like world class.
Correct.
There's only 75 ever truly world class players. I bet you, that sounds about right. It also feels like a lot.
No, I think it's about fair.
75 is what? That's just about 7 full clubs starting 11s.
Yeah.
That are truly world class when that doesn't feel right at all. It feels
even Real Madrid might have like 4, right? And Barcelona has like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 or whatever. But it's spread up through Europe. And maybe out of those 75, how many MLS players you say would be in that? Right. Like what? Like Carlos Vela is like the first name that again, world class.
I don't think
you wouldn't even put him there.
No. And here's why. Because he failed at the opportunity. And he was a younger player, different time. But he failed at the opportunity to impress at Arsenal and really wasn't showing off in Spain. So if you're given those opportunities to be world-class and you don't show, but when the quality of the player you go against dips.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this before. I don't rate MLS as like, oh, well, of course you're doing it there. Look, the goal's the same size. The keepers are just as good. We've seen that. We've seen a lot of keepers getting transferred to Europe. I don't think, but you are facing a lower quality defender on average. Not always. I'm not saying everyone, but on average across, if you took every defender in MLS versus every defender in Premier League or in La Liga, I think you would find that you would have more, even if you just took the FIFA overall number, you'd have a higher overall number in Spain and in England. So that said, maybe he's not world class. But like when, I can't even say Javinko, because he wasn't a part. You got to be on your national team to be world class.
Yeah, like people in the chat, let us know. Is there anybody that might be in MLS that you would consider top 75 players currently in the world right now? Like even, or let's say, how about this? Anybody that's not playing in Europe? Is there anybody not playing in Europe that you would consider one of the best 75 players in the world.
Who's so, in whatever. The Canadian Premier League? That's what I'm talking about.
always goes back to the Canadian Premier League.
I'm gonna get stuff from the Canadian Premier League just because I bring them up every episode.
We had a couple comments and questions in the chat about speaking of Arsenal. Do you think if Martinez wins that spot, the number one spot, you think you keep Leno or you let him go? What do you think?
No, you keep Leno. You keep Leno because what you want, especially when it comes to goalkeepers, is you want competition in training, right? I mean, it's what you're hoping for. I think I forgot it was Louis van Gaal said you want four great keepers at every club, because then when it comes to training ground, they're each going to have to like sort of step their game up, and you go with whoever's hot, right? And there's no one hotter. No, you go with whoever's hot. And if that's the case, Leno versus Martinez in training is guaranteed to be lit after this.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Right. Like it's a good dilemma, right? You have to have two great goalkeepers. So
speaking of goalkeepers, though, what do you think about Kepa?
Oh yeah.
Kepa getting dropped for Willy Caballero, who, I, if I'm not mistaken, is 75 years old, right?
You are
speaking
not
of 75. Yeah, I think I looked it up beforehand. Don't you do it? I got it.
well, Willy Caballero was where was he last? He was at Man City, right? Wasn't he the backup there?
Yeah, I thought he went to the Championship for a while. I had no idea he was at Chelsea, to be completely honest with
you. Yeah, but Kepa's been bad. We saw like a couple weeks horrible. Ago. he's not big. Oh, yeah. And I also just want to mention about players that in the top 75 players that are not in Europe. Gabigol, isn't Gabigol the guy from Brazil?
Isn't that what? Right? Isn't that what I put on my sandwiches? Come on,
Gabigol.
come on.
Yeah, Gabigol. I believe he plays in Brazil, right? If I'm not mistaken. Anyway.
Yeah, he does. He touched the Copa Libertadores.
Yes,
and everyone went fucking nuts, and then he won it anyway. And everyone was like, wait a minute, our superstition is not real?
Yes. Gymnastics talking about the top players in the world. He goes, Dylan. Flamengo. Yes, he plays at Flamengo.
Yeah, he plays at Flamengo, which is where Domi Torrent.
Yeah, Domi Torrent, previous head coach of NYCFC, is now the head coach at Flamengo.
And assistant to Manchester City. He was in the, saw it as Amazon Prime in Europe. Who knows? It's like Channel 4 or whatever. But the what's the documentary? Like the series on Manchester City.
Yeah. Glenser had asked anybody playing for Boca or River that are really good. And, I mean, I know Carlos Tevez is at Boca, but he's not. I mean,
he's
speaking of 75-year-olds.
Yeah,
I mean, he's up there. Okay. So let us get to... All right, let's look at the table again. Burnley played Brighton. I did not watch that because why?
Because you love yourself.
Chelsea against Wolves. This was something, bro. This was fun. Obviously not for Wolverhampton fans, but it was pretty entertaining. The Pulisic didn't score in this one, but was it this one? This was when the Olivier Giroud looking like a teenager out there.
What is he, 33, 34? He might be older. He might be 36.
Olivier Giroud won that ball. He just chased the ball down. And I forgot who was defending, but, bro.
Burned him. Yeah.
You cannot let – and it's also like Olivier Giroud is not – he's kind of old, but his gameplay is never – he's not going to outrun you.
No, he's always been a gorgeous – like, what are the horses that pull the Budweiser? It starts with the C.
Oh, Clydesdale.
Yeah, yeah. He's always been a gorgeous Clydesdale. He's slow, but he's majestic, you know? And no, for him, I would say, what, do you go vegan? He looks slim? His knees don't hurt?
He's training with Christian Pulisic or something.
Yeah, he's like, I got to get at least kind of fast.
Okay, because he's running circles around me in training. I got to keep up. Impressive win. Obviously, you know, Wolves. I don't know if they would have been. What's the table like right now? Right? Isn't it? Let me look at the Permian
Gymnastics table. Put Chris Wondolowski. Very similar. Very similar coming out of nowhere, except Giroux would never be caught dead in baggy clothing.
What was it? Yeah, let's look at the table. The Wolves end up in seventh place. Could they have gotten a Europa League spot in fifth? No, they wouldn't have been able to. It is what it is. But so if I remember correctly, Wolves are currently still in Europa League, right? And if they win, then they will get into Champions League. So yes. I think that's where they're putting all their eggs.
So I'm hoping Chelsea relaxes a little bit since they're in Champions League and they don't try too hard at the FA Cup final. Because put the standings back up, put the table back up.
Sure.
Because here's my biggest fear, right? If we as Arsenal lose the FA Cup final, Chelsea goes to Champions League, which means everything goes down a notch, right? So that means Leicester City gets into Champions League, and that means Tottenham gets into Europa.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The winner of the FA Cup goes to Champions League? Is that the reward?
Yes.
Can somebody confirm this? Because I never heard of that.
How did you not hear of this?
I don't.
Because
I
you're don't an know. Everton fan. You've never had to go, you've never had to consider this.
Golobanco is saying no.
Yes, the winner of the FA Cup goes to Champions League. Am I just giving myself a fever dream for Arsenal? Wait a minute.
I think you are. Please let us confirm this. Europa League playoffs. Is that
FA Cup football competition, English football, yada yada yada. Hold on.
No, see, FA Cup winner goes to Europa. Gets to Europa League playoffs to try to get into Europa, not Champions League. So, at best, Arsenal will, if they win the FA Cup and then play in the Europa League playoffs, can get into Europa League.
Oh. Why yes, did I think... Probably, I don't know why that it was in my all right, whatever.
Doncito says, Alexis is so wrong. LMAO. Okay.
Maybe I was just hoping. I don't know why I thought that. I've had this in my head. I'm like, we're going to Champions League, baby.
No, dude. Because it often the top four teams end up winning FA Cup anyway.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. Remember when Wigan won?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude. And they were in Champions League. What are we talking about? Did they change the rule?
That's what got Roberto Martinez the job at Everton. Him being like, I won the FA Cup. That was 12 years ago. Nobody cares, man. Yeah.
I mean, y'all did. That time.
The magic of the FA Cup. Nobody cares about the FA Cup anymore. It's always how many videos of Ian Wright do I have to watch of him being like, oh, the FA Cup when I was a little boy. Blah, blah. I'm like, nobody cares anymore, man. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what sucks? We really don't anymore. The winners of the FA Cup qualify for the group stage proper of the Europa League. All right, I'm wrong.
Okay, I'm glad we sorted that out.
Yeah, but Alexis, like if they win the FA Cup and then kill a wizard, they get into Champions League, right?
Yep, one of the Washington Wizards.
Oh, damn. Look out.
All right, so the some other
Mateo
games.
Mateo, but I think winning the U.S. Open Cup gets you a CONCACAF Champions League. Is that why? You
that
think
is
that's why?
That is correct, yes.
You think that's why I had it confused? That'd be great.
Okay, so let's look at some other results. Crystal Palace played Spurs. It feels like the games that were on Peacock, NBC knew. They were like, nobody's going to care about these games, so let's put them on Peacock.
I bet you four people downloaded Peacock because of those games.
I downloaded Peacock because obviously there was that the week prior.
It was like it was like everything goes to Peacock week.
You couldn't watch it, so that's how they get you. But, you know, we had NBC, Sports Gold, and it's obviously, it's a fine transition. And the Peacock, the interface is a lot nicer than NBC Sports Gold, so I'm on board with this. Okay, so Glenser asked, could Arsenal win the CONCACAF Champions League? Ooh, that's a good question. Who will give him a tough time? There'll be some Liga MX teams that would.
I mean, it depends. Are we going to follow CONCACAF rules? Then no, they're not going to win unless we keep Kolasinac and Shaka, who are going to be like, oh, finally.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what. Yeah, I would love to see just like, you know, Arsenal playing at in like Honduras,
yeah,
you know,
San Salvador.
San Salvador, yeah, that'd be dope.
So your name is Comunicaciones. All right, well, we'll play you.
So Prisa would smack that.
No, only physically. They would physically smack it and not even get a yellow or a red. That's how CONCACAF rules are.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see like Tigres against Arsenal, Monterrey.
Yo, Arsenal playing against Liga MX clubs would be fun to watch because Liga MX is like, if you've ever watched a Liga MX game, the ball is everywhere. It's pandemonium, you know?
Possession, never heard of it, okay?
You want me to pass to someone open next to me? Why? When I could throw it 30 yards in front of the forward.
Yeah, dude. Oh, Tigres or Monterrey, according to Di Garcia, could beat Arsenal.
I mean, only in FIFA, my guy. I don't think they could even beat Everton. No disrespect. I know how bad that sounded.
I think some Liga MX teams would be able to run circles. Tigres would run circles around Everton. I don't think they could keep up as far as like... It's a fast, they play fast and they have some really stupid fast players. But when it came to like just possession, Everton would have that. There's certain team when Everton plays a bottom of the table team, you really see the difference in quality. But when
here's an honest question while you're saying that, could Everton win the championship?
Everton could win the championship.
Could they have won? Could they have beat Leeds? Could you think they would have beaten Leeds? Really?
Yes. I mean, not by five goals.
Like in a match. In the standings, you think they would have come out ahead of Leeds at the end of the season?
Yes.
I think
Everton is good. I mean, look at the teams beneath Everton that cannot even stay up. They are. Yeah, they struggle as far as consistency throughout a season. They are where they are. You know, they're never going to necessarily scare you to be relegated, and they're not really going to threaten anybody in the top 10 for the most part. Anyway, Di Garcia, Gignac all by himself. Correct. Yeah.
He thinks beating Arsenal all by himself.
Don't think Arsenal could handle Mexican crowds. That'd be awesome.
I love Glenster, but what crowds? Good point. No one there.
Yeah, when there's no Mexican crowds, who's going to throw piss at you?
Nobody. Yeah, I mean, we got to get the interns in here. Everybody grab a Ziploc bag.
Oh, boy. Lovely, Max. Okay, so next up, show. Yeah, Everton did play Bournemouth. Everton, I barely showed up for this one. But, you know, we should highlight Leighton Baines' last game because he did retire. He announced his retirement, so... props to Leighton Baines.
Dude, there was an era where Leighton Baines was like the most sought after player.
And he was great. Yeah, I mean, especially those years of like from like 05 to like 2010 in FIFA. Dude, he was like the designated like free kick taker. He was a great defender. He was just a smart player.
If he got the ball in the wing, man, he was unstoppable.
Yeah. And he I thought was a real like shame. Last year,
I said it like he died. I'm like, it's a real shame.
Last year, he got a great goal coming off the bench. So, legend at the club. So, this game against Bournemouth was Bournemouth needed to win, and Everton did not. So, you know, that's how it worked. And last week I mentioned, I said Bournemouth would have needed to score like seven goals to go through. And it wasn't that many goals, but they did need Villa to, I believe they needed Villa to lose and them to win. And then they caught up in the goal differential, but Villa ended up tying the game. And we should talk about this because Aston Villa, Pepe Reina, and was celebrating in the locker room because they celebrated for staying up. and who was it? Robbie Keane, I believe he was on Sky Sports, and they showed him the video.
I'm sure he took it well. They showed him the video
of Aston Villa celebrating La Bamba. That's right, he was dancing La Bamba. They showed him the video, and he was fuming. Yeah. Man was so upset. He was just like, "What are they celebrating? What are they just because they stayed up? There's nothing to celebrate." And there is this new mindset. Maybe the mindset is new, that if you do stay up, that is something to celebrate. And he is of the old guard, where you're just celebrating being a loser.
I mean, is he wrong?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know? I mean, if anything, the front office should be celebrating because they just made $154 million or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
You know, and staying up, you know, in Keane's era did not mean the same as staying up now, right? Because there is a lot of money involved in staying up in the Premier League, where it'd be weird almost if you did not celebrate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, what do you expect them to do? Be like somber? It really sucks that I get to stay in my big home and I don't have to take a pay cut, you know? Did you hear that Bournemouth is actually looking into legal action? Glenster put it up. I had tweeted this out.
Yeah.
Bournemouth is actually looking at possibly suing to try to stay in the Prem because of the goal line technology that wasn't working that day.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this on the television show. And yeah, the VAR just wasn't working in the first half. You know, My bad. You know, whatever.
Not VAR.
VAR was working, or supposedly working, but the goal line technology was not. It was definitively not working in the first half. And I believe, this was the first match returning from the lockdown, right? Against Sheffield. Aston Villa against Sheffield.
I don't think it was the first one, but it was in that first batch.
Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah. It was West Ham Sheffield.
Yeah.
But because of that result, which I think ended in a draw or 1-0 or whatever, but that point allowed Villa to basically
stay up
or whatever.
I would love if they actually sued, instead of just like suing like the Premier League or looking into legal action, they should sue the guy who installed the goal line technology. Like, are you Steve, whatever their names are, you know, bucket of water? Yes, I am, of the Birmingham buckets of water. It's like, oh great, well, you've been served.
I have my tattoo from the Birmingham buckets of water. Colo Blanco, thank you. It was definitely Aston Villa against Sheffield. That was the first match that came back from the break. I remember that. Okay. These things happen. I mean it's a weird, I don't know what the this is unprecedented, right? I think for Bournemouth, I don't know what is
I don't think it's
happen.
That unprecedented. It's just that there's now proof that, like, remember, like, what was it? The hand of God? You know, what is England sues, you know, FIFA? You know what I mean? Like, these things have happened. This is why VAR was intended or created. This is why goal line technology was created. You know, but if you can't lean on the technology, it's like when the sideline judges won't lift the flag for an offside because they're like, well, we're going to see it in the VAR anyway. So I don't want to be wrong. I'd rather just sit back and wait for the, like, you know, so Punk Rock Dad put Steve Wireclipper. This is great. These names are ridiculous. If your great grandfather did something, your whole family, that's his name. You can't lean that much on technology. It's like if you drive a Tesla that has the autonomous driving.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go in the back seat and take a nap. You know what I mean? You gotta stay alert, my guy.
They'll frown upon it.
I mean, that's the dream. That's the dream, right? You get in your own car, you get in the passenger seat, old ghost car drives you there while you're eating McDonald's or doing whatever you want to do, take a nap, jerk off in the back seat, whatever it is you do, whatever you want to do. The car just drives you.
That's the dream. People want to masturbate in the back seat.
You know what?
While they get to their destination.
You're going to be relaxed when you get there. Man or woman. This is everyone. But this is the dream is, right? You go to sleep, you wake up, you're where you're at, right? You were supposed to go. That's not going to happen. Yeah, right.
I'm interested. So, somebody had mentioned this, and this was a this also came up in the Gully Squad Slack, and shout out to we have a couple lawyers in Gully Squad, and I remember
I need to know their names. I need some help.
I remember Nick Lazerin, great dude, who mentioned when we were talking about the Vardy and Rooney, Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Rebecca Vardy was suing about this or Rooney about it, and apparently there's the laws in England are just written differently where you might win a case like this because I think in the U.S. it's something like you have to prove that there was something slanderous or whatever. You have to prove that there was an effect or something like that, and. In England, it's like reverse. Like you have to. I don't know the legal terms or whatever. But it's
glad
sort of
you
backward.
Started down this road. Then
it's just sort of the wording is like sort of backwards, and it's more of the pressure is put on the person that was accused to prove that they did not do that. You know what I mean? So it's like instead of proving that you did it, I have to prove. If you accuse me, I have to prove that I didn't do it. So
it's
just
like if a cop says you were speeding. You'd have to, in England, you'd have to prove, no, wait, if a cop says you robbed a bank, you'd have to prove you didn't rob a bank versus here in America, the cop has to prove you robbed a bank.
Correct. Got it. That's sort of why, so this Bournemouth case, there
so
might
they're
be
guilty s- until you prove yourself innocent. is there laws?
Really true. I mean, it's not exact what I'm saying, but it's kind of that way. So
are you saying that the Premier League has to prove that their goal line technology didn't cause a team to lose the 154 million or whatever it is?
Something like it is much more defensive than it is offensive for the
burden
plaintiff.
Of proving yourself innocent is on the accused.
Yeah.
Damn, you got to go get your own evidence out there.
Okay, now that the Law and Order section of the show is done, we can move on and continue.
Luke Steriger put in quotes, again, we are a soccer show. And Glenn Glenster put, we promise.
Yo,
we
any
are.
Lawyers in the chat, yo, talk to us.
Yo,
right?
Seriously, we need y'all. We need y'all on our side.
Exactly, and let us know if we can get into some cool, great slip and fall cases because we can make some money,
bruh. Well, who's got money right now? Right? Is it a Walmart? Yeah. Remember when Tracy Morgan got hit by the Walmart truck?
I do.
And
remember
they won
that.
Millions and millions of dollars when he did the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Jerry Seinfeld was like at awe of his house, and he's like, "Wow, this is a beautiful house." And he put, he goes, what did he say? He goes, I didn't get hit by no Raymore and Flanagan truck, Jerry.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's a great comic to be able to find humor in that. It was scary. I remember when it happened. Obviously, one of our friends, Artie Fuqua, was on the.
In Harris Stanton. Who walked away. He was the only one who walked away without having to go to a hospital.
On the bus with him. And obviously, was it Jimmy Mack, I believe, who passed away?
Yeah.
Just whatever. It was just a very dark time and for a lot of comedians. It was pretty crazy. I was raising my hand because Nick Lazerman is in here. He is in the chat. He can confirm.
He's our lawyer, right? He's our counsel. Talk to him.
Okay. Luke says, Guerrero San Polanco law from gully until proven innocent. That's right.
That's right, yo. It's Guerrero's Polanco Troman y Glazer. That's the whole thing.
We did do a law for Mad, Nick is asking. Yes, for right. Ishmael Tajiri and Shradi.
That's right. Our lawyer, our famed lawyer. He loved that too. It was okay. So cool getting to talk to him after that. He
I love like, these. We already have all these like slogans for our law. Innocent until proven gully. These are great.
Innocent until proven gully is great.
That should be on like a shirt. That was awesome.
Bro, we need to make a fake law firm ad now for the show.
Okay. All right. So let's keep going through. Let's go through these. We have next up Manchester United against Leicester City. Oh boy, Leicester needed to win this one. Poor Leicester City losing 2-0.
They just collapsed at the end of the season.
Yeah, they very much did. They really needed that one. Manchester United fans were obviously, they made it to third place, right? Like, they didn't know how it was possible to end up there, especially because they were, Leicester was, you know, Leicester and Chelsea were doing pretty well, and they had a what was it? It was like 9 games left or something, or 8 games left, and they had a 9-point lead, and nobody thought they'd be able to catch up.
Dude, you know, we said this before, but what, Vardy does what, 2 coffees and 2 Red Bulls, something like that, before a match? Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe he needs one of these bad boys, huh? One of these sweet and creamy lattes by Donut Shop.
Okay, yeah. Sweet and creamy, Alexis's stripper name.
Yo, those are the names of my thighs. Left one sweet, right one creamy.
Glenster says, we, the chat, keep distracting them, making the podcast longer and longer, LOL.
As you read that, yeah.
Yes, I think that's the point of this, right? It's really have influence on this program. So
we have this, and I think you could access this because I put in a screenshot of it. This is the spending, the transfer spending for 2019-2020. You want to pull this up so everyone can look at it?
Oh, that, yes.
It's like, yeah, red, green, and blue.
All right. I need a second to do
that. I think you're going to be shocked at who lost the most, right, I think. Or as they call it, net spend. And this is where Arsenal used to be sort of at the top on a positive sense, right? They would be positive net spend. So they would have spent 40 million on players, but they would have sold 55, right? Because they were selling their youth players and stuff like that.
Okay, I think I got it. Yeah, all right. This is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. This bad boy.
Sorry, it looks weird, but I couldn't do it any.
That's fine. But if you're looking at it, Aston Villa's at the top. No one would have expected that. They spent 155.4 million, and they only sold 2.7. Which what was that? What was the 2.7? Is this concession stands? I mean. Imagine being net minus 152 million.
Well, I mean, they go to the Prem. They have to spend to hopefully stay up. They have a couple good players, right? They have like Trezeguet and Grealish and stuff like that. So yeah, those players, those dudes cost money,
and they're all going to be gone.
I don't know about that.
At the bottom, it's Chelsea. They sold $213.2 million in players, and they only spent $40 million, which I don't remember how they spent the money, because weren't they banned? Unless that's like Kai Havertz already.
So, obviously, Timo Werner.
But have they spent that money technically yet, or did they just agree?
I mean, that's a difficult thing to determine, because they pay those transfer fees over time. It's like, they pay every like over like 5 years or something like that.
It goes on the books this year. I don't think they're monitoring money coming out of bank accounts. You know what I mean?
Who did Chelsea sell?
They sold to everybody.
Who?
Hold on.
Specifically?
Well, now I have to look this up. Hold on.
Let us know. Who did Chelsea sell that they brought in so much money? Pedro. Okay. Pedro's going to, where's he going? He's going to La Liga, right? I forgot what team he's going to.
Here we go. This is their transfers for 2019. Out. Damn, yeah, they sold a ton. Do you want me to send you this link?
To Roma. Okay, Pedro.
Here, I'll put it in the chat. Is that good?
In the Twitch chat?
Yeah.
What?
Is this?
Okay, yeah, that might work. We'll see.
Wait, is this just England? No, this is 2019-2020.
Bella Blanca says, Willian to Miami, wink.
They sold Ethan Ampadu to RB Leipzig. Remember him? Okay. He had like the wild hair. Charlie Musonda to Vitesse. I don't know him. Marcin Bulka to Paris Saint-Germain. Don't know him. Eden Hazard to Real Madrid. Gonzalo Higuain to Juventus. There's some of the big money right there.
Oh, I thought he was on loan. I thought Gonzalo was on loan.
Danny Drinkwater.
Yo. He had him?
Yo, great.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. He left Leicester and went to Chelsea. I remember.
What a great name. Shouts to Danny Drinkwater.
I'm drinking water in his honor.
I remember the American player on Chelsea, Charlie Chug Whiskey. What a great player, dude.
A legend.
Matt Miazga got sold to Reading. How about that?
And we can't forget that they have like 96 players on loan all over the world.
They have an empire. They've got spies in every country.
Yeah, these aren't really as much soccer players as they are like deep state agents.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Send us back the info. Danilo Pantic, who went to a team called Fahararar FC.
Brett Favre?
Yeah, apparently. But, I mean, they brought in about as many players as they sold. I mean, David Luiz, obviously, to Arsenal. Ugh. I'm trying to see.
Yeah, wow, you really did. I didn't realize how much they cleaned house. Hey, Big Low 473, thank you for the follow. Oh, you know, I'm going to move there's Alexis Danson on the toilet right there at the bottom. Let me move the...
Tammy Abraham came from Aston Villa? That's a score and a half then. Unless he was just on loan or something there.
Yeah, so all right, they made moves.
You gotta bust maneuvers.
Good business to Nantes.
No, I think he might have been on loan out there.
Miazga refused to play. Miazga refused to play somewhere, so they sent him to Reading. Can't remember where. Oh yeah, to Nantes. Yeah, he didn't want to go to France. How's he doing? How's Matt Miazga doing at Reading?
Isn't Reading in League One?
No, they're in the Championship.
Are they?
Punk Rock, that's a Miazga's trash. he was on loan.
I bet you Leijman disagrees. Yeah, they are. They're 14th in the Championship. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's tough. Well, anyway, this is a Premier League show. It's not just a show about us Googling stuff. You know?
He was gully that one game. That's right. Meaning the one in against Mexico?
Yeah, I bet you Reading would have a tough time in the Liga MX because a lot of people were remembering Miazga.
Okay. So who else is all right? Let's keep it moving.
What are some of the other news items here?
Oh yeah.
We have Willy Caballero. We've already talked about. Madison has been linked with a host of bigger clubs in the past 12 months. What's his face? From Leicester. Yeah, he supposedly he has decided to go after a broad agreement. So I guess that means he gets to move to a bigger club. I don't know how this works. But if Manchester United is calling for you, and that guarantees Champions League play, you kind of got to do it, right?
I agree, but he was definitely not going to be the starter at Manchester United because Bruno Fernandes has that spot on lock, and they pretty much play the 10. I don't know how much playing time he's really going to get if he goes to a bigger club. He's good, though.
I mean, he's good, but you got to take the chance, right?
It's circumstantial at best.
I think it's uncircumcised. Uncircumstantial. How about Wilfred Zaha saying that him and other black players in the Premier League have talked about this before, that they find it difficult to even look at their direct messages anymore because it's mostly filled, not mostly, but it could be filled with anything. So they've been getting a lot of racist comments in their DMs. Which it takes a lot. It takes a lot to DM somebody hate speech, you know?
Yeah. Who was it that got the 12-year-old that got arrested for sending racist messages to a player? What player was it?
I can't remember. But that's fucking, arrest him, even if he's 12. Who gives a shit? Arrest him, arrest the dad, arrest the uncle. Whoever talk is slick.
Yeah, I forgot. Was it a Chelsea player or a Tottenham player? It was Wilfred Zaha.
Yeah.
Some people were like, kind of being too protective over this kid. They thought like, oh, he doesn't understand. He shouldn't have been arrested. But there has to be a.
But guess what? Now he knows.
He does know,
right?
He learned real fast.
He got his own little episode of Scared Straight. Remember that?
Yeah, but there is a this happens a lot, especially with black children where they are they're punished more severely than their white counterparts. Like, so just for whatever reason, there's this bias, and that, you know, you end up finding that there's so many stories of like 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds already having police records or sort of very, very severe things, or more likely to be suspended or whatever. So it's like there has to be a penalty, regardless of your age, when there is like severe racism, like the stuff like that permeates so much within a community that if it isn't punished, it can get, you know, out of hand. So there is that's why I didn't feel bad to hear this, like, oh, this 12-year-old kid. It's like, I don't know where you're sort of learning that. Like, the fact that you are comfortable enough and you don't know that it is an absolutely disgusting thing to send racist messages.
That kid knew that was disgusting. That's why he sent it.
Well, to be comfortable enough to do that and that there's no consequence really just suggests that you are in an environment that is possibly that toxic and racist that it needs to be pointed out. And by him getting arrested, let everybody know, yo, this ain't cool.
I mean, look, there's a couple ways you could handle it. I'm not one of these people that think arresting someone necessarily cures them of the ill that they got arrested for. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, especially, maybe it's different in England, but here it's not very rehabilitative. Rehabilitatory, not a word. I might have just made that up. I don't think that the way the jail system here is like that. But if you're 12 years old, you got a shot. You got a shot at life, right? You send some disrespectful, disgusting shit like this, and that doesn't get corrected now, you might continue to be that person. So this should have been like, I'm not saying the kid should get stomped out. If it were me that got that racist message, I may want to, right? But when you find out it's a 12-year-old, you got to say to yourself, all right, give this kid a lesson. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't get stomped out. Maybe something happens to you. Maybe it's just as simple as you go get central booking. That should correct anybody. You know what I mean? At 12 years old, unless this kid is hardcore, right? At 12 years old, he's like, this ain't nothing. You know, I doubt it. You put him in a holding cell. He's like, this is something. Y'all were right. What am I in here for? Some bullshit. I'm not telling you. You know what I mean? Like, you have a chance, and hopefully that kid went to jail. But it's so fucked up that just because you play soccer, you can't open up your DMs because you're afraid of what's in there. I know I can't open up my DMs, and you can't either. We've talked about this because there's too many nudes, right? We get it.
Yes, gentlemen, please stop.
Fellas, we are both married. Why?
They got to tone it down. Look, you know, we're talking about realistically, I think in the U.S. there would have been probably more of an uproar of if they hear a 12-year-old kid gets arrested for racist behavior. But I think in England they're at a point where they take it just a little bit more seriously. And not to say that there aren't problems and whatever, but I think this sets a good example for the world to be like, our generation and the Zoomers or whatever the next, they're moving into where they are growing up with the internet, growing up with social media ethics and figuring out there's going to be classes on like how to properly send a dick pic or what, like it's going to happen, right? There's going to be
whatever teacher signs up for that, arrest them along with that 12-year-old, please.
So I think it's a good look. If we appreciate all this connectivity, then it's going to be a thing where we have to like learn how to be on this. On these platforms and treat each other with respect and some kindness. And yeah, some people are gonna get arrested for it for not being on the up and up.
Yeah, man. I mean, it shouldn't be. It doesn't matter that you play soccer or not, but you shouldn't be afraid to look at your DMs because of what might be in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be afraid to look in Chris D'Elia's DMs. That's the one you should be afraid of.
All right, yeah. There's nothing good in there.
No. How about this? It says Richarlison, I can't speak today, might be on his way out of Everton.
I don't want to see that. Where's he going to go?
Apparently, he was, and this is a quote, he was challenged by, I'm trying to find it now. Here it is. Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti has challenged Richarlison to become, quote,
to a duel, sir.
Slapped him with a leather glove. He challenged him to, and I quote, become cold outside of the box and stronger on the ball. Now, I can't tell if that was flirting or if he means he wants him to become colder outside the box. He wants him, I guess, to test the keeper, you know, shoot a couple 30 yarders.
Now that we, Richarlison is, I think he needs to be surrounded with better midfielders to create more chances. He
I does believe a lot you of mean stuff. Ample, able to do their job midfielders.
Capable. So actually this reminds me of another thing, which I'm going to look up and I'm going to play this on here because this is too funny. Have you seen this video of Richarlison ordering a pizza in English? He doesn't speak English. So they did he was on like a Brazilian TV show and he is ordering pizza. They made him order pizza and it's
as if he were like in English.
In English, yeah. So Alexis won't be able to hear it because of the he doesn't hear what's on the screen, but this is too funny. Alexa, I'm just gonna
hold on. I can turn up the volume on the actual stream, so go ahead.
Okay. So it'll be delayed, but so let me give you the link.
Okay, yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so let me, all right, I put it on the Slack, so you'll see that. So I'm gonna play. This is super funny. And yes, his English is not great, but he's the purpose of it is that he's trying to order in English to therefore learn English, and he's ordering pizza, and it's the funniest thing in the world.
Hi, my friend. Hello, how are you?
Oh, thank you.
Can I have 4 pizza, please? five. Yes.
Collection or delivery? The address.
Okay. Quando eres aqui?
21.
21?
Delivery, yeah.
Ela não fala inglês, não.
They speak English.
Ela vai desligar, cara.
No.
Olha lá. Eu tava bem no inglês, você viu,
foi
né?
Foi bem, né?
Hello, we want to order 5 pizzas, please.
A delivery or collection?
Delivery.
Delivery.
Mussarela.
Não é mussarela, não, cara.
Calabresa?
Cheese.
My friend's gonna order the pizzas.
Calabra?
Pepperoni? Pepperoni?
Yes. Chicken?
Potatoes.
Potatoes? Yeah. No potatoes?
Cheese.
How many pizzas do you want?
5. Mozzarella and cheese, please.
5 mozzarellas.
No, 5 mozzarella, não.
Aí, tio, aí tá tirando, né?
Não.
Mozzarella.
Pra mim era só pedir a pizza, pô. O cara tá...
Mais fácil ganhar a Premier League do que pedir a pizza, pô. Falando sério.
All right. Okay, so I sent you the shorter clip accidentally, but...
I watched some of it on the stream. Let me just start by saying, I want whatever pizza he was trying to order. What did he got?
He said potatoes.
He said potatoes. It sounded like my grandmother going to the when we took her to like a regular supermarket, not Puebla supermarket. You know, and she was like, hey, "Where did the potato?"
It's so funny because, so I mean, you know, Ancelotti's going to challenge him to be a better footballer, but everyone, we got to challenge him to be able to order a pizza properly.
I mean, how do you expect my man to be cold from outside the box if he can't even order a pizza that comes in a box?
He's ordering pizza with potatoes and cheese and pepperoni.
What kind of trash ass pizza is this? And the guy goes 5 mozzarellas, and he goes, no, that's too much mozzarella. But the mozzarella comes on a pizza anyway, so it's going to come on all 5. I mean, the problem is he's ordering pizza in England. That's like us ordering fish and chips from McDonald's here. You know what I mean?
And
chicken. Yeah, he put chicken on a pizza.
And his relationship with pizza is based on what the pizza is in Brazil. And who knows what that even looks like.
You want to know the number one topping on pizza in Brazil?
What?
Corn.
Corn?
Corn. And you want to know the number one flavor of ice cream in Brazil? I'll give you three tries.
Pistachio.
That's one. You got two left.
Butter pecan.
Butter pecan ice cream is actually kind of fly, but no, you got one left.
I get vanilla. I don't know.
It's corn.
Corn?
Corn. I swear, it's corn.
That's not an ice cream flavor.
Yes, there's tons of shops here. There's one on Houston Street. No, on Bleecker, the one next to John's Pizza Place. They sell corn flavored ice cream. Son, corn on everything, yo. All corn, everything. I'm a Viet fan. Yeah, dude.
Scooby the Goon says, I felt like that was an easy guess. He set up the joke.
I tried. I said, I'll give you three shots, thinking he would be like, is it corn?
I fell for it. Dude, so,
yo, my guys put maize on everything, yo.
I believe it was in 2006. I went to Brazil. I went to Rio. And
yep, and it's been burning when he pees ever since.
Ever since. It's been rough. The pizza... The cheese in general that they have is like very, they eat like very, very white, the white cheese or whatever. It's like, it tastes very different.
Low moisture mozzarella is an American invented in the 40s here in America. And it was made specifically to make an easier fresh mozzarella. They couldn't figure out a way to make fresh mozzarella in a factory, and it was very popular. So like when we say pizza has this cheese and they see pictures of it, every society has a fast cheese, right? Mozzarella is a fast cheese. It's boiled milk and cream and you're done, right? Ricotta is the same. It's just that cooked. So every society puts their fast cheese in it. So like Mexico, because of its how close it is to here, they get low moisture mozzarella. But for a long time, Mexican pizza had like that cotija cheese on top, which is like, you know, melts in like these tiny little puddles. It doesn't really goo. You know what I mean? It kind of looks like cottage cheese, like dried cottage cheese. Okay. Everywhere uses like this just... Whatever is their quickest plain white cheese, like pizza in Albania is wildly different than a New York pizza here because of that. It's like all whatever is like they're like weirdly fast cheese, and it's sometimes very different. Sometimes it doesn't have the oil in it. I swear this is a soccer show.
Yeah, Nick Leisure said Christian was hoping for Soylent. Yeah,
Felix Blau put goat cheese in Ecuador. Goat cheese is wildly popular on pizza because of how strong the flavor is. But if you put a lot of it, you can't taste anything other than goat cheese. Goat cheese is funky. What y'all feeding these goats, you know?
Okay. So, look, what a fun, organic, fun, moment we had with Richarlison and pizza and soccer. Look, what show are you going to get all of this in one? You're not.
None.
Okay.
Find it. Where could you find out that Wilfred Zaha is getting racist tweets minutes before finding out the number one flavor of ice cream in Brazil? Where?
Okay, this is a pizza history segment. Okay,
I got the info. Nobody wants to hear it, but I got it.
All right, so we should wrap up soon. Let's just talk about
what questions do you guys have? If you have any questions, let us know.
Feel free to put them in there. Thank you. Guys have been great so far. Thank you. Glenser said it's not a Cooligans episode without pizza history talk. That's right.
Dude, if I don't throw some pizza in there, I mean, what's the point? It's just going to be Christian yapping on about his health snacks.
Boo. It's just going to be chomps all day.
Yo, right? Let me have some compost cookie chat, dude.
Let us look at the table. Let's just talk about the teams that were relegated, obviously.
R.I.P. Norwich, R.I.P. Watford, R.I.P. Bournemouth.
Look at all those L's that Norwich has right there.
Damn, son.
Not good. You hate to see it, but...
How about Crystal Palace, dog? bunch of L's with a little D at the end. Yo, little D.
Lil Dicky out there. Bournemouth. I mentioned before, Bournemouth was the one I was like, oh man, it'd be nice if they stay up. They always have a great story. But the
Felix will output more L's than a dispensary.
Bournemouth. It all kind of worked out the way it kind of the season was going. It really didn't show too much consistency. I mean, Bournemouth was getting a couple wins there at the end, but was not enough. But I'll be honest, I would have preferred Bournemouth stay and Villa go down. I have been genuinely, I know there's a lot of Villa fans or whatever, but I've been genuinely bored by Aston Villa and their matches, their style of play. I just don't like watching them at all.
And their best player is going to leave the team. So get ready for an even more boring Aston Villa. Yeah.
Bournemouth at least had a lot of young players, a lot of it was just like a more exciting storyline. But Villa are staying up. Best of luck to them. Watford, I think Watford are back in the Premier League next season. They're a good team. They're a good team. They had a rough year. But I think they'll be back next year.
I mean, there's a lot happening. I'm excited for some of the teams that are coming up. Obviously, Leeds, that's going to be exciting. Brentford, almost, right? They're one game away. They have they're in the playoff semifinal against Swansea.
They just beat them.
Did they?
Yeah, so they're playing the final against Wembley.
Oh, no, Wembley.
In Wembley. Yeah. I don't know who they play, though. Is that
they've
game...
got to play the stadium, which is tough.
Bees are going to Wembley after beating Swansea in the Champions League. Yeah, so they're going to Wembley, yeah. So
yeah, and Colo Blanco wants to know Manchester United for real or not. Look, I forgot who said it. Colo Blanco said, in less than 2 months, the Premier League starts again. So right. We ain't got that much of a time off. It's just basically Champions League and then y'all playing again. So, I mean, everyone kind of got, like, what, 3 months, 3.5 months off already, right, with the with the quarantine. So hopefully that was enough of a break for everyone and for everyone's knees, you know, especially if you're in Champions League and for your tendons. But it's gonna start pretty quickly. So I'm excited. I'm excited for seeing if Arsenal can keep Aubameyang. I'm excited to see what Arsenal does with the Ozil money. You know, because I have a feeling Ozil's not staying, and if he is, it's certainly not at the money he's currently making. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to a lot. What about you guys? I know we got a lot of Manchester United fans in here, unfortunately. What do you guys think? You know, are you guys excited?
There were a couple other questions from Glenster. Can Liverpool repeat? Which I very much think they can. I don't think Manchester City is closing this gap. Anytime soon. I think there's one more year of another dominant Liverpool.
I don't know that it'll be as easy for them, though. I think it's going to be a much, much better chase for the title in this upcoming season, because I also don't think we've ever had it where someone has won the title this close to the start of a season. I think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover. You're going to have less of that. All right, boys, you went away for a summer, but now we're back. And you've got to, you know, earn it all over again. You're not really going to get that opportunity, you know, to kind of have to hold that over their heads. They're still going to kind of be celebrating. And I feel like they're going to get kicked in the mouth in the beginning of the season. So
the reason I disagree, Liverpool already out of the Champions League. Manchester City are still playing. Anything could happen. Could be injury, whatever. Liverpool are going to be much more rested and prepared than Man City, in my opinion, but we'll see.
I think also the way Manchester United ended the season, I think they're a serious contender for the Premier League. If they can keep up this sort of restart form, they look dangerous as hell. Especially with Greenwood now also being incredible, can kick bangers with both feet. How do you get 2 feet?
Not better than Liverpool, man.
Not better. But again, I think Liverpool's going to slip up a little bit, and I think you're going to see that they're going to get competition. Of course, Arsenal's going to finish first. So what's the point? Why are we even doing this? You know.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you.
Chelsea looking to outscore everyone and never play defense. Yeah, what do you think Chelsea's going to look like next?
Oh, dude, we had the video. Did you see the video of Frank Lampard?
I can put it. I can play it. I did not want
to. Yeah. Play that real quick. I know we should be done already, but play this. This is Lampard chewing out club on the sideline. This is the best part about not having any fans.
Oh, that we can hear this.
Yeah, you can hear. You wouldn't be able to hear this back and forth. Old Mushmouth over there, stop eating during the show.
Sorry, I'm eating my chomps.
Chomp, chomp.
Okay, so yeah, let me play this. Yo, that was wild.
What? Homie said, only league title you've ever won, and you're fucking giving it the big un. What?
Yo.
Yo, Lampard learned a thing or two when he was in New York, huh? Homie came out gully as hell. Yo, fam, act like you've been here before. You saw the players going, hey, whoa, whoa, hey.
Hey, that's that is wild. I did not expect, you know, you never really know what's being said in those situations, obviously, because it's always so loud. But man, that was... Would you label that as just straight up like him being rude? Just straight up disrespect? Do you think that was called for?
I think why it's disrespectful is because I don't think Klopp has the capability to respond the way he wants to in English. So he's okay. Just like, calm down. And he's like, you can see him be shocked in this footage. Whoever shot this, shouts to you. Clearly a player on Liverpool because you're in that section. So shouts to you for getting this. But Lampard clearly upset over a foul. And here's why I like this. It sets up a bit of a push for the title next season. It sets up that little bit of rivalry. It sets up that we're not going to go down easy. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to take it easy on you guys. You guys may be champs, but yo, we're going to come hard for you now. I like this. I like this so much.
Yeah, that's I would say you know, it seemed like he went too far, but it seems like this is normal, right? The coaches say awful shit to each other and shake their hand after the match is over.
Not always,
you know? But I'm pretty sure they shook hands. But otherwise, if they didn't shake hands, it would have been all over the news and you know, first year manager at Chelsea shows disrespect to league champ. You know, it would have been a whole freaking thing in the sun or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with Scooby the Goon. He says, I don't know. The players' faces were kind of surprised. This seemed like it was a lot. Maybe the players just normally don't hear this because remember, it's massively loud.
Yeah.
Like most of the time they're yelling at each other. But remember when Mourinho and Arsene Wenger got into that shoving match? Like, I bet you they weren't saying nice things.
Yeah, we've seen, or even in like, what was it? Tata Martino, and when he told a ref, fuck you, or another.
But that was
coach.
Great because he doesn't know English. So he'll be like, oh yeah, fuck you. You know, you got to be angry when you get a Latino to just yell, fuck you. That's upset. But Colo Blanco put Wise Lampard talking about league titles in his first season as a player. Maybe that's the point. And I think this is missed. Why this is so disrespectful is because Jurgen Klopp was not a great player. I don't think he ever made it out of the second league in Bundesliga or maybe even third. So this is deep-seated disrespect. He's saying this is the first time you've ever won a league title, meaning like, yo, you was trash in your playing career. And that's Frank Lampard, one of the greatest players in England's history. So yeah. When you – It came from such an, I don't want to say elitist, but you get the point I'm trying to make here?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, fam, this used to happen to me all the time, my guy. Sit your ass down and shut up. You don't know where you're at. Like, this is the big boy's playground. This is wild.
Yeah. I think it's uncalled for. A little unnecessary. I wouldn't necessarily go and say just straight up disrespect, but definitely
if you think about the full context, it's wildly disrespectful.
Okay, whatever. All right. They've heard worse, you know, these coaches. They've heard worse. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Glenster said, didn't Klopp win the Bundesliga? Though? Yeah. But as a player, I know he won it as a coach, but did he win it as a player?
That's about him as a bad player.
Yeah.
Because remember, Frank Lampard's first year coaching, he's still thinking like a player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if you saw this. Klopp came out.
This is his second year. First year at Chelsea. I mean.
Yeah, first year at Chelsea. But but you know, I don't know if you heard Klopp said he was afraid to look at his DMs because he thinks it's just going to be Lampard and they're saying disrespectful things.
Yeah. This is only so much a kind German man like me can handle.
Yeah, he's like, is there a 12-year-old we can arrest that's been telling Lampard what to say about me? This is disrespectful.
Yeah, Glenster said no. He played at Mines. That's right. Okay.
But was Mines in the Mines wasn't at the top?
I think they were. Yeah, I don't know how his career. Oh, in the second division, he played at in Mines in the second division. Okay.
He helped promote them when he was as a coach.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he turned
he played
out to
for
be
15 years, 11 of them at Mines. He only reached the second division in Germany.
Okay. Yeah, so he pulled out the dude's resume. He's like, nah. Oh, you see this? I see where you've been.
Let me find you all the way down here, my guy. I mean, that when you think about it, Lampard been thinking about this.
Oh, sure. He was just waiting for the opportunity.
This bullet was loaded in the gun. It got Klopp's name written all over it.
All right. So, look. So as of right now, obviously the Premier League is over. We will be back, I guess when Champions League starts in about 2 weeks, right? A week or two.
I'm sure there'll be news. Maybe we'll do something next week.
Yeah. So, we'll see what's going on. But thank you so much everybody for hanging out with us. If you're listening to the audio of this podcast, thank you for listening. And make sure if you want to be a part of the show, like all these heroes in the chat.
All of our favorite listeners that are in the chat right now. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true.
Follow us on Twitch. And we do a bunch of stuff on here. twitch.tv/soccercooligans. All right. So thank you again, everybody, for hanging out. Let us wrap up the show. Everybody, you're Felix. Shouts to you. Glenster, shouts to you. Thank you for all the support. We appreciate it. Okay, so with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!